Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 389. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program that you can receive one. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. It's absolutely free of charge. Postage and handling is taken care of as well. Got some music, got a strong message from the Lord, scriptures, some testimonials, possibly. We might read them. We get them by the hundreds. But we always don't have time to do it. The Lord leads these services. So let's go to the throne now to ask the Lord to lead this service, to really anoint it, that everything that is said, done on this program will be for your soul's benefit, for your spirit, for your eternal life. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. We thank you for your word that is able to keep us standing strong. Lord, we pray that you will direct my words, let them be your words in this service. Lord, that the souls in the world will be able to understand the scriptures, will be saved, and the church will be strengthened in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now, the Lord warns the Christians in the book of Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, chapter 1. It tells us that back then, almost 2,000 years ago, people were not to be thinking that the Lord was coming back to earth at that time. It would be sometime in the future, and that future is right now. We see that you read the book of Revelations, and it's easy to understand now that the book means revealed and that it is to be revealed in the last days. The book of Daniel and Revelation, and the entire Bible now is very understandable. We know the mystery of God, and we know the mystery of iniquity. Iniquity reigns now. You have the, we have this one world government, led by the Vatican, and we also have this media that's telling you the exact opposite of the things that the Lord tells us. We're living in the day of Revelation, and the Apostle John said that he saw these different things, and here are I am with the J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet to sing I, John, and I, John means I, the Apostle John, saw these things, and Jesus told me these things.
Well, and I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air. Well, I just saw my number way up in the middle of the air. Well, there were three gates in the east, and there were three gates in the west, three gates in the north, three gates in the south, and that made 12 gates to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, mighty you will I count on mighty number. Well, in the middle of the year, I jumped so mighty number. Way in the middle of the year, oh, John declared that he saw a man. He had 12 bright stars in his right hand. Well, his eyes flashed by like the burning sun. Oh, John got scared and he wanted to run. Well, he wanted to run, but his feet wouldn't go. Because he felt the gospel gun like a two-edged sword. Well, he heard a voice that said, John, take a look. Read what you see and then write a book. He saw 12 angels in the east. 12 angels in the west. 12 angels in the north. 12 angels in the south. 48 angels to the city, four square wide. Hallelujah, the mighty Lord, our John, so mighty number. Way up in the middle of the air, our John, so mighty number.
Praise the Lord. Right now we have a couple of testimonials. Where's the first one from?
From Peru.
Peru. Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Brother, it's a great, immense pleasure to me that you were able to contact me. I was loaned one of your newsletters. As I was reading it, my heart became filled with the powerful anointing that your books transport. I congratulate you and thank you for reading this email. Signed, Mo Pisces from Cajamarca, Peru.
Praise the Lord. Then what?
Okay, then from Edo State, Nigeria, Africa. Greetings to you in Jesus' blessed name. I am a young man of 22. I was once a Muslim, but today I have seen the light of Christ after all my wasted years in the Muslim religion. He read one of Pastor Lama's pieces of literature. I now know that Christ died for me and you so that we might be saved. The main purpose of this letter is to make a request for a Holy Bible to build up my spiritual growth in Christ. May God bless you as you help the poor, needy Christians, your brother in Christ, Brother Yasuka from Nigeria, Africa.
Right, people are Muslims. I was just a person that didn't believe in God or Jesus or anything, really, except myself. And I'm not the kind of a person that's going to fake one of these affected voices, my dearly beloved, oh God, and these type of things, because it never came to me that way. Salvation came to me very powerful, very matter of fact. The Lord has given me many signs, wonders, visions from Him in dreams. And Satan has tried to fake a lot of visions and dreams to me, but because I read His Word, and because God gave me a very powerful woman in the Lord that had been saved 25 years before me, it was just very strange that God would give a newborn Christian to this mighty, powerful woman of the Lord. Now, the Bible states that in the last days, God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, and that His servants and handmaids would prophesy. And if there ever was a prophetess, it was Susie Alamo. And God put us together. He gave us strong visions that we were to be married, her first, and then she came against that vision in the blood of Jesus, and it just kept coming in, to her all night long. And it was a vision, she told me later, and she didn't tell me. She told God, if this is you, you tell Him and make Him tell me too, because I've been too long in the Lord to accept anything that is not of you, Father, and I want to be absolutely sure. So you tell Him if this is really you, and then you make Him tell me. And right after she prayed that, I had fallen asleep on a couch in the living room, in her living room, because all of us, we were saved, and we were in the living room when she would teach us. She in the bedroom, and I could hear her praying in there, and I had a terrible toothache all night long, and she was going to take me to her dentist in the morning, and I sat down on the couch waiting for her to come out, and there were a lot of people in there that in the living room and dining room that were sleeping, and all of a sudden the pain went away, and I fell so sound asleep because I hadn't slept for a long time because of the pain. And I was in a deep sleep, and this vision, it was like a television set in full color, just came crashing into my brain, and I saw her lying on a couch. She had on a red velour sweater. It was like a velour. And blue, dark blue velour pants. And her hair was cut, and her hair was very long just before, but I recognized it was her, and she had on very red lips with a lot of lipstick on, and her eyebrows, and she looked beautiful. And I walked right into the room and knelt by the couch and kissed her, and it showed a close-up of my left profile and her right profile, kissing. And I pushed myself up from this vision, and I said, "No, Lord, this is my Bible teacher. She's a holy woman of God." And he said, "It's true." And I just started, I said, "No, she's, it came right out of my heart. She is smarter than me. She's more godly than me." And he said, "That's good for your ego." And then I started saying a lot of other things, but it wasn't me saying them. They were coming out of my heart. And he kept blowing. It was these words. It was the Holy Spirit like rings of smoke around me saying, "While I'm wide awake, I'm still seeing the vision." And the Holy Spirit was saying, "It's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, 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 true." And I could see it. And the vision turned from full color into black and white. And it looked like our profiles were in the dark black on a blackboard. And it was like our profiles were made out of white, so hot iron. It was like so hot it was white, and it was shimmering. And this vision just shimmered itself right into my brain, and it sounded like a telephone that's been off the hook, similar to that, where it was going bing, 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 right into my heart, mind and my soul. And I felt the hand of God come in and touch my heart. And for the first time in my life, I was in love. I mean, he poured love, miles of love, into my heart. And all the time while he's pulling these things out of my heart, it was like questions or my retaliation against it and his answers to make it positive. So it was like a golden pipe coming from my heart up to him, and there was another gold pipe giving me the answers. It kept pouring down into my soul, into my spirit. And he said, "It's true." And the questions that were coming out of me were so fast and furious by the thousands or maybe millions that I couldn't understand what I was asking, and I couldn't receive what the answers were because the answers were coming so fast and furious into my soul and in my spirit. And so before this vision, I felt myself totally inferior to her. I could never, you know, picture myself being married to her. And it just, she was 9 years older than me. And I just couldn't picture it because I didn't really know that anything much about the Bible. But I know I had these visions, and I know that I got saved. I saw heaven and hell, and I heard the voice of the Lord, and I heard these incredible, I saw these signs and wonders and everything from him. And after, then all of a sudden, here's this vision. And because of the fact that I've had all these signs and wonders and visions and dreams, I knew that I was a supernatural being. I mean, God, why he saved my soul, everybody wondered why. And I couldn't understand why God was actually telling her about me. She said she saw us walking through these arbors that had huge roses on them, and they were dripping with dew. And I had on a tuxedo, and she had on a wedding dress. And we're going through this arbor, and she's pleading. She's seeing it. But she's pleading with the Lord, "No, Lord, no, he's too young." And she said, the Lord told her, "Yes, but he's strong." And I thought, well, I didn't know what that meant. But now after 42, almost 43 years in the ministry, I've had people from the federal government come into prisons, where I was imprisoned, and they said, "We just wanted to shake your hand because we admire your tenacity. You keep going no matter what people do to you or what happens to you. You don't fall." And I thought they were in there, real tall guys, two of them. And I thought for sure they were in there to murder me or something. And just after those visions, I've had so many visions that a lot of them seem impossible. because especially to people out in the world that are carnal, you've never heard from the Lord, and you don't believe that it's possible to live a godly life and to live a spiritual life in the Lord, because you don't know the Lord. You don't know what it's like to have the power of God living in you, and you don't know what it's like to hear the voice of the Lord and to see all these signs, wonders, visions and dreams from the Lord, and you've never been really put to the fire. And I understand that, because I never did also. I was around 30 years old when a lot of these things happened to me, and I've had a lot of visions since. I haven't had a strong vision from the Lord for years. You know, I haven't anything more to tell you about that. But I do know the Word of God, and I know that the Word of God tells you it's positively. You can be capable of standing in the Lord and going through no matter what comes at you, especially when you have the fear of God and when you've seen these things. 3 years after I was saved, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit by hearing the preaching of a Robert Aguri, who was with the Foursquare Church. I heard him on the radio, and there was every kind of a distraction in the world. Satan was making an attempt to stop me from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we were living in a shack that we were paying $60 a month for. We moved out of our Malibu home. That I received money from selling the singer Robon that I did the promotion for in 1967. He was working in a woodworking factory, and Norman Kay from the Norman Kay Realty in Las Vegas brought him to me and said, "I'd like you to would you do the promotion for him?" And he says, "You can have 51%, and you can have management, and he can be on your record label and all these different things." And so I didn't want to do it, because I'm saved and I'm full of the fire of the Lord, and Susie told me to do it. We heard him singing at Caesar's Palace in the basement, where they have salespeople come in and sell things. And so I went over there, and he didn't even need musicians or anything. It was the most fantastic voice I ever heard, but he was an opera singer. And so Susie said, "Do it." She said, "You can do it. You can do anything in promotion, and but the Lord wants you to do it, because everybody in the motion picture and recording industry thinks that you're crazy. And so do this final promotion to show them that you really are not crazy, that you are a better promoter than anyone in the world." And I say, "Well, I know that these people that are in the One World Government and One World Church, they're selling a commodity that everybody likes. And I know that I can sell singers, and I can sell products, and I could even cause the President of the United States to become president. I don't know how many candidates are running for president now, probably about 300 or maybe 3,000 for all I know. You know, even the dog catcher is probably running. And everybody are wondering who's the most, whoever puts out the most promo is the one that's going to make it, and whoever the media is for." But I did the promotion. Sure enough, 3 months later, he was the star of the Dunes Hotel. So people thought, "Well, maybe he's not crazy." You know, they think you're not crazy if you can score in the world. But, you know, when I went right back to distributing literature on the streets of Hollywood, and we went around Las Vegas while we were there. We went there to get married. We were married 3 times in a row. First, we were married by the Lord. And then in Las Vegas. And so I did this promotion, and I went back. I was in the 500 room of the Angelus Temple when the Lord, some people stood up. One of them was prophesying, and it went right into my heart. I knew that the Lord was talking to me, because the people didn't even know who I was, and I didn't know them. And I can't see very well, because I've got glaucoma. I've had it ever since I was 15 years old, and I'm deemed legally blind by the government. I could be receiving blind aid if I wanted to. And it was saying, my wife was telling me, come on, get back into the ministry. And I thought, you're the very one that told me to, you know, do this promotion and Rovan and Major Riddle at the Dunes Hotel and Lee Fisher and all these people wanted me to come to the opening. And now all the record companies were after him, RCA, Victor, and Capitol, and all of them. And I couldn't even get him before the Major Riddle wanted to put him in at the Dunes. He was the president of the Dunes Hotel. Lee Fisher was their promo man. And as soon as they got, I got him in there as the star of the Casino de Paris show, all the record companies started coming to me and wanted to sign him up. And so in the Angela Sample, the 500 room there, they call it, Susie says, you got to get back, you know, don't go. So here this this prophecy came down from one of the people in the 500 room saying, listen to your wife. Get out of there and get back into the ministry. And all the different words that he was saying to me. And Susie looked at me, you know, with her eyebrows raised. And she says, did you get that? And I shook my head, yes. And then I thought, yes, maybe it's just a coincidence. And before I even had that in my mind out, the Lord said, think not that it's a coincidence. He says, this is me talking to you. Another person stood up and said the same thing. Listen to your wife and get out back into the ministry. And I said, I looked at her and I said, yes, I got it now. That was really unbelievable. So, you know, you people out there don't know what it's like for the Lord to talk to you like that. And that's why I have had so much patience. And I hadn't had the patience on my own, but the Spirit of God is living in me. And not only, he filled me with the Holy Spirit 3 years after I was saved, and there was an automobile wreck where, as I said, in this house behind, it was a shack, actually, was leaning, and it hadn't been painted, it looked like, for 100 years. It was just like bare wood, and it was a dirt floor in there. And Susie said, we got to live humble. We have to get down. We don't want to... You don't want to get yourself, Tony, into a situation to where you're paying too much for rent, because we want to put everything that comes in into the ministry. So the hippies were living in that place, and there were snakes on the wall that they had drawn on the wall, and there was it was just, you could tell there was hippies. And so I had I says, boy, it's unbelievable. I thought we were going to store the furniture that we had in the house up in Zuma Beach in there, but she said, no, we're going to live in there. I said, that'll be the day. And she said, when you said that, I knew that you were going to be forced to do it. And so, yes, we moved in there, and then the Jesus movement started. We started witnessing on the street, and one of the people came to us and told us that his friend was in jail, and would we help him get out of jail? He was one of the number one drug dealers in Hollywood. And so, as Susie told him, because I didn't know really what to say to people at that time, I wasn't skilled in the Word of God, she says, we'll help him get out if he'll listen to the gospel when we get him out, if he'll spend time with us. He was running a notorious drug, he had a dope den there, and there was a whole bunch of hippies living in there. And so when he came over, we preached to him. Susie preached. I gave my testimony. He got on his knees and said the sinner's prayer, and he was saved. And we saw that young man, the Spirit fill him and all the people. He wanted to know if they flushed all the dope down the toilets and everything, would we come over and preach the gospel over there? And Susie said, yeah. So we went over, and I gave my testimony, and she preached hellfire and brimstone to him, just like it says in the Bible. Absolutely 100% correct down the line. And was teaching them that, you know, when the Spirit of God enters into you and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God starts molding you by you reading the Word of God, then you're going to be able to withstand temptation and withstand sin, Satan, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life, and you're going to be able to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord and hate the world, because there's nothing in the world but the flesh and the lusts. And so they all got saved, and they started, we sent them out on the streets with us to preach, to invite people to come to the services at night. And people were trying to persuade Sue and I that were neighbors there. They said, "You people are nice people. You're clean, you know, you've got a suit on, and your wife has got nice clothing, and you comb your hair, and you don't have long hair, and you're not, we can tell you're not drug addicts. These people are just conning you. They're drug addicts." And we said, "Yeah, but they got saved." And the police would come in, the West Hollywood, the Hollywood Police Department and the West Hollywood Sheriff Department would come in and beat them up because they were praising and thanking the Lord, speaking in tongues. And at that time, back in the mid-60s, nobody knew what speaking in tongues were. And the people in law enforcement thought that we were running, got people on some kind of a new drug that they didn't know anything about. And we'd stand there and tell them, Susie especially, and she'd tell them, "No, this is the Holy Spirit. It mentions this, you know, in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And how do you explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit to people that are dead in their sins and trespasses, and they don't have any power of God, and they're completely..." The police departments and the government and all that at that time, I didn't realize, but they didn't have the Spirit of God in them, and they were as bad or worse than the hippies. But the hippies were saved now, and they just had love in their heart to win people's souls. So I've had all these different signs and wonders and dreams and visions and supernatural things that have happened to me, and happened to me all the time. So I know it's possible for a man and a woman, or a woman to live every day led by the Holy Spirit, to have the power over sin, Satan, and the world. I know it because I've been living that way for a lot of years, and I read in God's Word that He sheds abroad His love in the hearts of human beings by the Holy Spirit living in them. It's like the Lord wants to talk to you through me, and He wants you to talk to people. He wants to talk through you to other people, but you have to be born again of the Spirit and not get puffed up when you get saved and think that you're a spiritual giant. And it took years for me to be able to be molded and to study the Word of God and to understand what it means to let God talk through you, and to you and through you. So He sheds abroad His love in the heart, the spirits of people, by the Holy Spirit. I know not only because it's been doing this for years, but it's I've read it in God's Word, that as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, can you imagine, I mean, God's Son, He wants God's Son, Jesus, to live in you so that God can have many sons. And Jesus said, "You'll do the same things that I do if it's the Holy Spirit living in you. You've got power over sin, Satan, and the world, but you've got to surrender your entire heart, soul, mind, and strength unto the Lord. If you don't do that, then you're never going to find out what it's like to be led by the Spirit. You've got to do it. There's no other way, believe me when I tell you. Because I was the most carnal person that I know. I was like the ringleader. I mean, all kinds of people were drawn to me. People that were, you know, wanted to sin. And people that wanted all the things that this world has to offer. And they really, I've tried everything out in the world almost, and none of it was fulfilling to me. None of it made me feel powerful. None of it made me feel with peace and happiness and joy. None of it. But all that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You actually become a son of God by virtue of the Holy Spirit living in you. You're children of God, the sons of God. I have studied that in God's Word, that if we are born again of the Spirit, we are to walk, in other words, live our lives by the Spirit or in the Spirit. So the Bible tells you that it's possible, and I'm telling you that it's possible too. So many people think, well, no one is perfect. Oh, yes, you are if you're filled with the Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God is molding you and making you into the Son, a son of God, one of the sons of God. So it's possible. So those of you who are listening, it is the life of God that calls us to that. God calls us to not only the Spirit, but the Spirit is God and Jesus is God. That's the only thing. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit makes us one with God. So it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and His body, His church, the New Jerusalem. And we are that body. We are His church. We are the New Jerusalem if we continue on to the end. Now, He calls us to that kind of life, the spiritual kind of life. And He doesn't call us for anything else. If you're not led by the Spirit, then you cannot keep God's commandments. If you're not filled with the Spirit, it's impossible. There's going to be all kinds of satanic things. You may do everything well, but there'll be one thing that is going to just ruin your soul. This is what Christ redeemed us for, is to let Him lead us and guide us. And for us to allow Him to fill us with His Spirit so that He can, and that when that happens, the old us dies, our old life and our old desires. After He shed His blood, He was buried. Then He rose from the dead. And then He ascended into the heavens to send the Spirit, His Spirit, to His people, into us. After He was glorified, His first work was to give us the Holy Spirit, to give the Holy Spirit to those who want it. Now, if you don't want it, well, of course, you're never going to have it. If you don't want it, if you're going to say, well, I'm smart and I'm going to live part carnal life, and whenever I feel like it, I'm going to live a spiritual life. You're never going to make it, not into heaven, if that's the way you live your life or your own life, and you ignore the Lord. When you begin to believe in the power of Christ's blood to cleanse all your former filthy sins away, and in the power of the glorified Christ to give us His Spirit, to give His Spirit unto you, and to give to you in your spirit, you have then the first step in the right direction. So, there's a lot of people that are saved, and they think, I'm going to watch pornography a little bit. I just want to see if it's really as bad, or if it's going to cause me really, I feel like I'm strong in the Lord now, so I'm going to look at it. And the Bible says that we're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil, to flee from the very appearance of evil. And so when you do the exact opposite of what He tells you to do, you're looking at Satan. That vision that I had of looking at that old man coming into that room, and there's one light bulb in there, and this nurse is bringing him in, and pretty soon the vision focuses on that old man, and he's just walking one inch at a time, and it's taking forever to get him over to this jailhouse-looking bed, or this old hospital-type bed, with this striped mattress on it. And I just was fascinated at looking at this, because he had his head down. Couldn't really see his face. He had kind of long white hair, and he was bald except for that. And finally, he made it to the bed. This young nurse brought him over to the bed, and she was just bustling with health, bristling with it. And she sat him down, and he just looked up, and his eyes met mine. And it was like he sucked me right into his eyes, and he started moving my spirit up and down very powerfully. And I saw myself going into a spiral. And on the way down in that spiral, I saw champagne glasses, martini glasses. I saw there was like the feeling of every kind of sexual perversion on the face of this earth. And I just kept going downwards, and it was dark, and it was like a white spiral going down like a lines. And I said, "The blood of Jesus," and that was the end of it. And that was a warning. You know, you're looking at Satan in this world, and your eyes are full with lusting after men if you're married, or women, married women if you're a married man, or whether you're married or not. You're lusting after some married person. And it looks innocent. You just think, well, you know, it's all right. I'm strong. I can feel the Spirit of God. And the Bible does not say once saved, always saved. It says if you turn your back on the Word of God and don't heed its warning to get your eyes off of the devil, this world, this old man, and get your eyes on the Lord, you will wind up in the very pit of hell and into the lake of fire. And I've seen these things, and the Lord wanted me to tell you these things. I was writing all kinds of literature, and the Lord told me, write some of your visions, write your visions down, and get them out to the world. And I've released that years ago, and that hasn't changed. It's the same thing. And so I notice there's a lot of things that are fascinating. You don't know about them. You don't know necessarily that it's that evil. You know, the devil comes to you and says, well, God sees everything. He sees the pornography. And you know, God doesn't lust after anything in this world. And so why can't I if I'm of the Lord? You know, and then you pornographers and you people that are involved, like in this pornography, you have to turn it away. You have to get out of there real fast, because your soul, you don't know when you're going to die. And as soon as you die, the same kind of person you are now is the same person you're going to go up before the Lord with, and you're going to be judged just as you are. You're not going to repent or become different when you go out of your body. You are you. And the Bible, God says, he doesn't make anybody keep the commandments. And he can't. He can't make you keep the commandments. And Satan can't make you sin. It has to be your choice. The Lord says, you choose who you're going to serve. Amen?
Amen.
Choose who you're going to serve. Turn away from evil. Flee from it and completely keep your eyes on the Lord. And the Lord showed us that even in the Old Testament, the snake, the serpent, Jesus, you know, Moses had a serpent on this pole, and Jesus became, we're the serpent, but Jesus became the serpent for us, and he died on the cross. So a bunch of these vipers, these snakes, were killing the people in Israel, but the Lord told them if they keep their eyes on that serpent. In other words, if they believe that Jesus, God's Son, is coming into the world to die for them, that the snake bites won't hurt them, and the snakes won't even bite them. And so some of the people would look upon that serpent, which was symbolic of Jesus, which is actually, Jesus was symbolic of he died on the cross for our sins. When they look up there, they wouldn't die. But the ones that started noticing the snakes, paying attention to the devil, they would die. And there were thousands of them that died. And then you may feel ever so wretched You may think that you never can keep the commandments of the Lord. It's only because of the fact that you've never experienced the Spirit of God living in you. You've never felt this as incredible, amplified power of the one who created the heavens and the earth and created everything that you see and the things that you can't see. And you've never experienced his power living in you. But if anyone is to believe my testimony, believe that it's very possible. If you will do what what I'm telling you, what the Bible says, you will be able to, no matter how wretched you are or how many sins you've committed, he'll wash all your filthy sins away in the precious blood that he shed for your former sins. But what you must do is hold fast to the Word of God. Now, the Bible says that the Word of God is God, and the Bible says that the Word of God is Jesus, and the Word of God said that the Word came into the world in the flesh, and that he willingly, even though he hated it, he willingly, in order to save our souls, yours and mine, that he willingly went to the death of the cross, and he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and he will fill you with himself. He'll fill you with himself, with the Father, by the Holy Spirit. He can, and he will, with the Holy Spirit, fill you. For he has commanded you to be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot more than 10 commandments. I mean, one of the commandments is to live after the law of the Spirit of life. Now, there's the law of sin and death. And if you're filled with the Spirit, if you, as it says in the... Now, you know, chapter 7 of the book of Romans tells of what Paul is by himself without the Spirit of God. He said he wants to do good. Everybody in the world more than likely wants to go to heaven, and they want to do good. They make New Year's resolutions and all these things, but they can't do it alone. You must have the power of God. And at the end of chapter 7 of the book of Romans, Paul says, who can deliver from me from this? Well, read that right there. Okay, who can deliver from me from this body? What does it say? Go ahead.
From the body.
Okay, tell him. Chapter 7, verse 1.
24.
Who in this whole universe can deliver me from this body?
Of this death.
Of this death. This, I'm dying. I'm going to hell. I want to do good, but there's no power of God in myself before I'm saved. Paul, I'm nothing, he says. I live only by Christ living in me. And so he didn't know that. He was persecuting Christians, and he was taking them to be killed. As a matter of fact, he held the cloak of a young Christian while he was being stoned to death. His name was Stephen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so he considered himself to be the world's worst, the worst sinner on the face of this earth. And so it says, who is able to deliver me from this what? This body of death?
The body of this death.
Then what? Does he say can do it?
I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit of Jesus, with his Father, and by the Spirit, living in you. Then what? I thank God.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now we go into the next verse, which is the first verse of chapter 8. And what does it say?
There is therefore now no condemnation.
In other words, there's absolutely no condemnation once you turn your life over to the Lord and let him fill you with his Spirit and the Spirit of his Father by the Spirit. There's no condemnation to you. In other words, you're not condemned to spend eternity in hell. In other words, you're sinless once that happens. And, of course, if you begin living the old life again, if you start looking at sin and the old man, and you start lusting after the world, rather than lusting after the promises that the Lord makes you, that you're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, your soul could and would be lost. Amen?
Amen.
It's not enough for a man to have a vision of the spiritual life, which is to be lived. It isn't. You know, I've seen all these visions and dreams and signs and wonders. That isn't enough. It is also imperative, absolutely mandatory that a man should be fully convinced of his carnality. You must know what carnality is. You must know that you can't be staring at guys, and if you're a guy, you can't be lusting after women, narcotics, drugs, alcohol, lying, stealing. You can't do that. You must be fully convinced of this kind of carnality, because the Ten Commandments, the moral law, is never going to go away. The Bible says once you're condemned by the law. But once you're saved, the law no longer can condemn you. In other words, the law doesn't have the power over you, because you're in Christ, who never committed a sin, and you have committed yourself to His, or allowing His life to live in you. This is a difficult, and it's very serious. But as I say, it's a very needful lesson for everyone to learn. You've got to know that you're a sinner before you can repent of sins. And you've got to know what sin is. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. Because Satan lives in the flesh. You have to deny the devil, Satan, that's living in your flesh. You have to completely be filled with the Spirit. You say, I can't keep the commandment. No, you can't. Paul said he couldn't even do it. But he said he thanked God that Christ Jesus is able to deliver him from this power, this satanic power that Satan has over him to lust after the things of this world. And he said, therefore, there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have to walk after the Spirit. You have to live your life according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. And God isn't going to make you do it. And Satan isn't going to make you sin. You have to choose. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So there is a great difference. You got to know what carnality is. And that you're a horrible sinner. Paul said, I can't do anything by myself. I try to do good, but I can't in my flesh. But I thank God that when God, Christ Jesus, who is God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's only one God, have living in me, I'm delivered. I am delivered, especially and only when you choose to be delivered. We say, well, you know, I still want a little piece of this world. I can't help. Well, you're not. You haven't totally surrendered yourself unto the Lord yet, right?
Amen.
Otherwise, if you wouldn't have this pulling on you, you wouldn't have this problem. If you were filled with the Spirit, when the Spirit of God is in you, nothing evil can enter into you. And when you're following the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, in other words, you're putting on the full armor of God, which is the full Word of God, you have the shield of faith to defend you from any fiery dart that's coming at you. The devil uses your brain as an airport. These thoughts, these ideas come bouncing into your head all day long. They're like airplanes that come and land in your brain, and then they take off. And if you believe these thoughts, you know, you believe everything you think. Or you believe everything that Satan plants in your brain on television or in the news or the things that he says. These ideas and thoughts come into people's brains all day long and all night long if you stay up all night. And so you have to choose to just call on the Lord and get into the Word of God. So that this all these satanic thoughts and ideas, and Satan can bring visions and dreams as well, but You can tell that they're not of the Lord when you read the Word. Thank God I had Susie, who was a veteran in the spiritual realm, to tell me, yeah, that one was for sure of the Lord. I knew it. You know, you can tell. There isn't any queasy, quizzical thing like where you see these women saying, snuff the life out of your children. This is the devil. God never tells you not to murder and then goes ahead and tells you to murder. You've got to have enough sense to know that. Or he doesn't tell you to take up a gun and just because your feelings were hurt to walk into a school and kill your fellow students in the school. So I ask you, notice this between the sins of the unconverted person and the sins of the converted person, the believer. As an unconverted man, you had to be converted. Of all, you have to be convicted and converted from all your former sins and make confession of it. You have to confess, I was a sinner, just like I did. I was like Paul did. He said, I'm the world's worst sinner. He had to know that. He had to know it wasn't right to murder, and especially anybody, sinners or Christians. But what were you primarily convicted about? What were you? You know what sin is. And the Bible tells us that there isn't anyone going to get into the kingdom of heaven with sin stain on their souls. You have to be washed perfectly clean, or you can't become a member of Christ's bride. Of this grossness of sin and very much about it, you have to, do you know what this is all about, the grossness of sin? And you know much about it? You better. The guilt of it and the punishment of sin. All sinners are punished eternally. That if you're not converted, if you haven't given your entire heart, soul, mind, strength, your whole life unto the Lord, you're not going to make it in this world of temptation. But there was a very little conviction of inward spiritual sense when you were unconverted. You had no knowledge of them. That's what chapter 7 says. But when you were, Paul knew what sin was, he said these things slew him. Amen?
Amen.
And his former life, and he converted. So there's very little conviction of inward sinfulness. I see my time is up, but I know that, you know, I've preached, if you're listening to my program for any length of time, and if you read the Bible at all, you know what sin is. And you have to have those sins washed away, and there's only one detergent in the universe strong enough to take that sin away, all sins away, and make you perfectly clean, and that's the blood of Jesus. So, if this is your goal to get into heaven, then say this prayer. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. You have to admit you're a sinner, and a very bad one, all of us are, and were, rather. And so, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my dirty, filthy, former sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy, vile, former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll turn no one away. Fill me with your with you now, Lord, with your Father by the Spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now praise and thank the Lord and keep doing it. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of this program, number 389. 389.
go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Well, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message in the Lord, the true Word of God. And make sure you continue keeping the Lord in you, in your mind and heart and soul, stayed upon Him. He will live in you, and He will stand by you. Here I am singing, Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship out on the sea, now who rules wind and water? Stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, how who'd ever lost in that world, stand by me. Now who'd ever lost that love, stand by me.